Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Into Greeny, it's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Michelle Smallman alongside Jeff Tern. And Jeff, I am thrilled to be working with you yet again. We were on Canty and Carlin yesterday, but I have to tell you, I'm even more thrilled to be working with you on Greeny because it's a bit of a reunion for me today. I used to work at ESPN Radio back in the day. I was a producer for Russillo and Kennell, and on that show, I worked with Bubba, who is producing the show today, and Mikey C, who's on the board. So I didn't even think you realized that you were smack dab in the middle of a little ESPN Radio reunion today.
I feel right where I need to be. I'm so excited you guys are having your reunion. I always felt like the guy that was going to replace Greeny would be me. So I'm perfectly comfortable in this role today. And he just needs to know his seat is hot. I'm coming for it, man. They got me here once. I'm not trying to leave. I'm coming back on the 4th of July. And when he decides to go, you know, go off into the sunset, and which by the way, probably is sooner rather than later, considering how much they take care of him at ESPN. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm excited. I'm glad to be with you again. It feels like literally we were doing radio not even 12 hours ago, it feels like, together. And so we're back and better than ever.
I love that you just put Greeny on notice nationally, Jeff. That's a bold move. It's a bold strategy. And James Harden and the Philadelphia 76ers were on notice yesterday because we were waiting for word, and we got it from Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday, that the 76ers and James Harden, there was a decision made. James Harden exercised his $35.6 million option for the 23-24 season, which cleared the way for the organization and the 10-time All-Star to work together on finding a trade. So, Jeff, we were waiting for the news yesterday. We got it. James Harden likely played his last game in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you and I were sitting on the air together when the news came in, and sort of yesterday we were thinking if he opts out, they're probably going to end up having a restructured deal that allows them to have some flexibility down the road, but he'd probably be back in Philadelphia. And if he opted in, this scenario is most likely to be the case where he would find himself with a different home when the season started. And I think a lot of this has to do with the direction the organization wants to go long-term, not just short-term. They bring in Nick Nurse to replace Doc Rivers. Additionally, you have a situation where it feels like Joel Embiid finally has a seat at the table with regards to decision-making within the organization. It feels like, at least from the outside looking in, that Embiid is like, me and Maxie can go do this together. You guys add some pieces. Maybe this paves the way for them not only to trade James Harden, but move on from Tobias Harris, sort of completely restructure that deal, push the reset button without, you know, gutting the entire thing. You keep Maxie, you find some other ancillary pieces that make this a championship contender. I told you yesterday, Michelle, I think that at this point, the Philadelphia 76ers aren't that far away from making the NBA Finals. Heck, they were up 3-2 on the Boston Celtics, and they fell apart in Game 6 and Game 7. If it was a different player not named Harden, would they have made the NBA Finals? And I think that's the unknown that Joel Embiid and this organization want to explore.
They're clearly feeling that sense of urgency, Jeff. Well, let's hear from the man who broke the news, our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who lays out exactly what Harden opting in means.
I think in a perfect world, James Harden would have declined that player option, gone into free agency, and then re-signed with the Sixers on a long-term deal. But he could not be confident that the years and the money would be there for him, especially because cap space was going to probably dry up around the league on him, especially in Houston, where he thought he would have leverage. And I think once Ime Udoka came in as head coach, they started looking at the roster, what they wanted to do in free agency. I think Fred VanVleet has moved to the top of the list in Houston. And so what James Harden didn't want to get stuck was July 1, July 3rd, July 5th. He's trying to hammer it out with Daryl Morey in Philly. Doesn't like the deal. They're arguing July 8th, July 10th. And you're just dragged into no man's land of negotiations. So by opting in, he gets the $35.5 million next year, and now he can get a trade, I think presumably to a contending team.
And Jeff Woj also revealing yesterday that among the teams that are expected to have an interest in acquiring Harden, the LA Clippers and the New York Knicks. Do you think either of those are a good fit for Harden?
I start laughing when I hear the New York Knicks in this because it's like, listen, you guys finally found yourself on a path of prosperity where you are knocking on the door yourself of taking that next step internally from an organizational standpoint. And you've been very patient with the deals that you made. You didn't trade for Donovan Mitchell. How the hell can you not trade for Donovan Mitchell, but you'll be in the James Harden sweepstakes? That would be infuriating to me if I was a Knicks fan. And I also think that the way they've set themselves up to be ready for that next big superstar to land at NYC and ascend on Madison Square Garden, I wouldn't screw that all up to bring in James Harden for 1 year. So I don't get that at all. The Clippers side of things, I get a little bit more. Maybe if it's Paul George that's involved in that deal, it feels like to them internally that they hit their ceiling with George and Kawhi and they have to split that up and do something different. Maybe they don't move on from Paul George. It's Paul George, Kawhi, and it's James Harden. Now, if that was the case, you're talking about essentially a big three to match up against another big three in Phoenix and that dynamic duo in Denver and in Los Angeles. But the Clippers thing makes a little bit more sense to me than that. I still feel like Houston may have a say in all of this before it's all said and done. There's no reason to not believe some of those rumors from last year where there was a reunion maybe in the works there. So I think those are the three teams that come to mind on the reporting and based on what we heard a year ago. But there's always a team that isn't mentioned that is having conversations or multiple teams. And sometimes we're shocked at the ultimate end result. I think, you know, if you go back to Nick Nurse being the head coach, is Toronto involved in this as they are trying to maybe, you know, reunite Nick Nurse with Pascal Siakam or, you know, moving on from Harden, do they go after Fred VanVleet? I think those are some of the other moves that could come down the line.
Jeff, are you suggesting there's a mystery team afoot?
I don't have any reporting on it, but I'm going to tell you, when you don't hear more than two teams, you're like, there has to be more involved.
Well, I am with you. I think the Clippers are a better fit than the Knicks. I know that it's hard to be patient, but if you're looking for somebody to put alongside Jalen Brunson, I would not want to put my chips in on James Harden for just a year. I would lay in wait if I was the Knicks. I would be patient, and I would try to find a younger superstar down the road, possibly in 2 years. You don't think the Knicks are a good fit. I don't think the Knicks are a good fit for James Harden. And Chris Carlin, the host of Canty and Carlin, agrees with us.
I think it's an abject nightmare if the Knicks try to go and get James Harden. And even if it's a one-year thing, I get it a little bit more, but the Knicks are not contending for a championship if they add James Harden right now. The Knicks have to do things like pay attention to what's going on in Milwaukee. You know, does Brooke Lopez leave? Does Chris Middleton maybe not stay? Especially Lopez. Because then you have the Giannis extension, Supermax, that he's eligible for this summer. If he doesn't sign that, like we talk about the next superstar being available, it has to be the right next superstar. It can't be. It has to be Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now.
And Jeff, as we spin this forward, as these dominoes continue to fall, you mentioned a mystery team. There's always things that can happen in NBA free agency that we're not expecting. So one thing that I want to get to is this Brian Windhorst sound, because we're thinking about Harden, where he could go directly. What about what happens with Philly? What do they do next? Here's our ESPN NBA insider, Brian Windhorst.
It now appears like Philadelphia may be in need of a point guard, and there may be an option there for Kyrie Irving to continue to test that situation. So I would not be surprised if we see Kyrie want to investigate what's going on in Philadelphia. If Harden moves out, if there's a window for him to come in. The other name here is Dame Lillard. Is it possible that Philadelphia, if James Harden moves out, could acquire assets from Los Angeles, put their assets together, and prepare an offer for Dame Lillard? That is an option. Kyrie Irving potentially would be an option, or they could go with Tyrese Maxey, take whatever assets they might get in a James Harden trade and send those assets somewhere else for somebody else.
Jeff, Kyrie or Dame to Philly after James Harden moves on?
I mean, that would be amazing for Joel Embiid if it was Damian Lillard. I'm not touching Kyrie Irving with a 10-foot pole on a team that wants to win a championship. There's no way, no how I'd ever go down that avenue. He has been nothing but a dumpster fire everywhere he's been. He's been, a guy that's been a coach killer in Brooklyn, a team killer in Boston, in Brooklyn, and he didn't do a damn thing to get him into the playoffs in Dallas. So I'm not touching Kyrie. I don't get what the infatuation is with putting him on a winning team. If I want to have somebody that I can sell tickets for, that I know is going to put on a show individually, that is very talented, okay, cool, I'll spend the money on Kyrie Irving. I have to, according to the new CBA. But I'm not doing that on a winning team. And if I was looking to at least find myself with a chance to win right now, I'm doing what Windhorst said and packaging my assets from the James Harden deal along with the Tobias Harris to match up the salaries. And I go get Dame Lillard and I say, you and Embiid and Maxey, let's go win a chip.
Ooh, wouldn't that be fun to watch? Ooh, I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff, on the Kyrie situation. You know, from a basketball standpoint, what you're going to get from him. And it's a risk for any organization to put so many chips in on Kyrie Irving. But especially Philly, when you've had this process that hasn't worked out, when you've had the Ben Simmons issues and you've had one thing after another happen, why would you want to risk it all on Kyrie Irving?
I wouldn't want to touch it. And I think the thing is, like, when he went from Boston and ended up in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, you're like, all right, I could see this working out. There's certainly so much talent there. And then so much stuff has come from them. That was like pre-COVID. That was pre all the stuff that happened with that video link that he had. That's like pre-breaking up that situation in Brooklyn. The only thing we were really talking about is he left LeBron and he sounded like he wanted to be a Celtic for life and he talked about a flat earth. Like, you know, you can get past some of that. The rest of it is like the same thing over and over again, and I just wouldn't want to do that. And in Dallas, okay, we brought him in. Let's see if we can get to the playoffs. Can we move up in the standings? They fell back, and then they ended up literally tanking in that last week so that they would not make the playoffs. And now you're telling me all of a sudden they're winners and they're no, thank you. And I don't want him on the Lakers. I wouldn't want him on the Clippers. If I'm the Suns, I don't even meet with him, although there are reports he will. Stay away from it. If I get anybody in Philly that isn't James Harden and is a superstar, I want Dame Lillard.
He's Jeff Turin. I'm Michelle Smallman. We're filling in for Greeny, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Coming up next, NBA free agency officially begins in less than 6 hours. What can we expect from the Lakers and the Suns? We're going to get into it. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny the podcast.
Now, is this the P. Diddy version or is this the Sting version?
Wait, there's a Sting version? There's a Sting version? I thought this was just Faith Evans and P. Diddy. That's all I thought that this was.
He's Jeff Turner. I'm Michelle Smallman. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Jeff Turner didn't know that I'll Be Missing You by P. Diddy and Faith Evans was actually originally a Sting song. We learned that in the break, that Jeff is learning about remakes.
Right. I never thought that, you know, growing up that they, you know, when I was growing up in the mid-90s, that these songs were remaked. I thought that they were all original beats from P. Diddy. And even as I've gotten older, my wife gives me a hard time because Luke Combs has this Fast Car song out. And I thought he came up with it by himself. And apparently he did it. There was someone else that was much less famous than him who came up with it. And so
you put some respect on Tracy Chapman's name.
Who?
Tracy
I don't know
Chapman?
Who that is. I couldn't pick out Tracy Chapman from Aroldis Chapman. Okay. Like, I don't know. I don't know which Chapman I'm picking. Okay.
We're going to do all remakes today, Jeff. So we'll,
yes,
we'll show
Mikey
you.
Mikey C. Yes. I have no idea anything. Again, if it happened like before 1990, I probably wasn't paying attention to it. And you know, I thought P. Diddy was an innovator. Apparently he wasn't. He was just ripping everything off.
Well, it's Remake Friday here on Greeny with Jeff Turner and Michelle Smallman here on ESPN Radio. And Jeff, Kyrie Irving might be remaking the team he's on. That was rough. I tried, but you know, it wasn't that great. But Kyrie Irving is pondering his future. It seems like Dallas is in the mix. We got reports yesterday that from Ramona Shelburne that he's interested in meeting with other teams. He is assessing what his future might look like. And Jeff, she had in that report that he wants to find a team that he can stay with for the remainder of his career.
You know, the thing about Kyrie that I think is sort of a pattern at this point is he publicly always acts like, you know, I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to kind of march to my own beat. But then when there are moments where he can get admiration from others, he is so magnetized to that. Like, in this moment of free agency, the Suns aren't going to sign Kyrie. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen, but he'll go meet with them so that they can tell him he's great. And it almost feels like a guy that had sort of a checkered past at his old high school ends up getting to go to a new school, and they know he's pretty good at athletics, and they want to make him feel welcome. And yet, you know, they know his parents are probably going to move again. So, like, he's not going to be there that long. So how much do you want to really attach your future of your program, your basketball program, whatever it is, to him? I don't know what the enticement is of other teams to bring in Kyrie Irving at this point, because most of them don't have the finances to sign him. They know what his past is. And this leverage he's trying to create feels like all smoke and mirrors and ultimately a facade. It doesn't feel like there's any other place where he can get the money he wants and sort of the situation he wants other than Dallas. So, yeah, go meet with Phoenix. Go meet with Houston. San Antonio has money. Sure, go hang out with Pop and some good wine for a night. I don't know. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, though, if you're those organizations to realistically consider Kyrie, because it doesn't feel like he wants to take a significant pay cut to be a part of a winning team.
Well, let's hear from our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who has the latest on Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving is trying to create a market out there, and it may just not be there for him. Certainly Dallas, I think, is going to try to show some restraint, some discipline in what they're willing to offer Kyrie Irving with an extension, a new deal in Dallas. It's going to be more than anybody else can offer him. And I think he's going to try to spend some time here trying to, again, manufacture a marketplace of salary cap space and teams that might actually scare Dallas into thinking they have to up their offer. I'm not sure that's happening. That'll be an interesting process as it plays out. I still think Kyrie Irving inevitably will return back to Dallas on a deal there to play with Luka Doncic.
Michelle, I think it's you know, so fascinating too that we have a guy that probably is going to end back where he was before, mm-hmm. and it's not going to really change the landscape of the NBA that he does. But there's like a lot of other names out there in free agency that I think can have a huge impact on winning, and they've been a part of winning cultures in the past. Like, Brooke Lopez to me is a more fascinating land than Kyrie Irving. Chris Middleton is another one that I think is pretty fascinating where he's ultimately going to land. Russell Westbrook is a name that, like, at least you know you're not going to get the off the court shenanigans. And, you know, he has his goofy moments where he'll have some wonky turnovers. But like you saw with the Clippers and the injuries in the playoffs, he kept them competitive in that opening round series. So, you know, where does Russ end up landing? D'Angelo Russell, the Harrison Barnes news came down yesterday. He's back with Sacramento. Jeremy Grant, the guy had a career year last year. Like, that dude is more of a winner. Hell, Dylan Brooks and his situation, I'm like more intrigued to see after he was exiled from Memphis where Dylan Brooks lands than Kyrie Irving. Like, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I'm done with Kyrie.
I am too, Jeff, and I know that he wants to be courted. As you mentioned, he wants that attention. He wants that validation from his peers and from other teams around the league. But Dallas is clearly the best spot for him as far as contending, as far as the money. It kind of seems like a no-brainer to me because I don't know for what he would command financially and everything that you know you get with the entire package of Kyrie Irving, what the market would really look like for him. How many teams would really be interested in putting in the chips for him?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, it just feels like, you know, it's such a disservice to these other guys that have put in the work to be winners and don't come along with all the off-the-court stuff that when their free agency hits, Kyrie is trying to create leverage. Well, guess what? Brooke Lopez has a little leverage. He was a part of a championship team. He was a top three defender a year ago, and the guy was playing on, like, a contract that was so undervalued for what he's worth. He is a guy, like, if I'm the Lakers, man, I'd way rather have Brooke Lopez than Kyrie Irving.
Well, there's some stuff happening off the field in the NFL. We got word yesterday, Jeff, that four players in the NFL were suspended for betting on NFL games. Isaiah Rodgers and Rashad Berry of the Indianapolis Colts and free agent Demetrius Taylor, they were suspended indefinitely through at least the 2023 season for betting on NFL games last season. In addition, Tennessee Titans offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere was suspended 6 games for betting on other sports at the workplace. All 4 suspensions were announced yesterday by the NFL. And this is a story, Jeff, that I think has a lot of legs to it. I think that this is not we saw this happen in the NFL prior. I think that this is just the latest in a string of issues that we're going to see with players and gambling. The league is printing money when it comes to wagering. They have a lot of partnerships with sports books. We talk about it in our industry all the time. It's so prevalent in our country, and I just think that it's going to be difficult to keep players from gambling.
Yeah, I think it is, and I have a solution for them. Change your rules, right? Like, I think so oftentimes that is something that they want to shy away from. They want to lay down the hammer. And in this case, I'd say, you know, I understand they broke the rules, but suspending them for a season or for a long period of time if they weren't betting on your sport, I think is overboard. If it was on the NFL, I understand, you know, you got to keep the integrity of the game. All right, but when it comes to the hypocrisy of what they're talking about, like, you go to an NFL stadium now and there's all kinds of gambling innuendo throughout the place. And there's going to be a moment where, like, there's going to be kiosks and you're going to be able to take a little, you know, handheld thing, bet inside. Like, it's going to be like Europe at some point. And so I think it's kind of hypocritical to say you guys go out there and you get, you know, you guys can't walk into your facility as a football player and bet on the U.S. Open or golf or basketball or baseball. You can't go into a sports book. And I think that part of it, it's a real easy solution. Change your rules, right? Like, I don't think that there's anything that if you can let them bet at home, they can't bet in your facility. A 10-minute drive doesn't really matter to me with regards. I think it's semantics at this point. So I would say change your rules on that front. I get the part about your own sport. And I know they're trying to make an example of these guys right now. But any human that looks at this situation can understand the hypocrisy at its finest.
Chris Mad Dog Russo was on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Jeff, and he agrees with you about the hypocrisy.
It's all sports. It's not just the NFL, but here, this is the last suspension. It drives me crazy. If you're going to support gambling, which the NFL does, they support it wholeheartedly. They got both hands out for every nickel from these places and houses. Every nickel. And they can share it amongst the owners. Oh, they love it. And they all have a big party at the end of the year on your dime. Because you lost. And the NFL can laugh all the way to the bank, yet if one of their players bets $20, he's suspended for a year. If you don't see something hypocritical in that, I'm not too sure who you are. Practice what you preach. Practice what you preach, Raj. And you don't need the money. What, you got about $9 billion a year coming to you from television? From Amazon and ESPN and NBC and Fox and CBS? $9 billion just from TV alone, for crying out loud. TV alone, before you sell a ticket. But here it is. We're going to make sure that our guys get suspended for years and are out of the NFL, but you go out there, you support our team. Bet in the stadium. We don't care. Bet on your phone. Bet in the bathroom. Bet in the parking lot. Bet.
And Jeff, he's absolutely right. The NFL is very in bed with these gambling entities, and they want to encourage everyone to bet. They realize that it's something that has taken over the way that we consume sports, yet they don't expect their players to be involved, even in betting in other sports. I just think that, like you, they need to refine the rules, and they need to be a little bit more realistic about it. Do you want these players to bet on their teams? Absolutely not. Do you want these players to bet on the sport? Certainly not. And insider information is never okay. They want to protect those lines. They want to protect the, quote, integrity of their sport and the shield. But I think they need to be a little bit more realistic with what they're dealing with.
Yeah, I think that's the part that, again, the NFL is notorious at being reactionary instead of out in front of these things. And so, like, I'm so confused sometimes when you see suspensions handed down or the fact that these guys break the rules, and then the NFL's like, oh, we told them what was going on, but did you really break it down? Like, we've heard multiple reports over the last couple of weeks that when you talk to players in the NFL, they're still confused as to what the actual rules are. And I just go back to the NFL always seeming to step on itself when it comes to situations of controversy surrounding suspensions. And you're just like, dude, like, you got a million people working there and you don't have the foresight to see, like, there's going to have this situation and you need to be, like, extra clear, not one meeting, like five meetings on it, because you know how important it is to you. And then furthermore, the reaction of the public. I don't know anybody that I talk to that goes, God, I'm so offended that Joe Schmo on the Indianapolis Colts bet on a golf match. Like, that doesn't resonate with the public. He bet on his own team. Yeah, that resonates. But the rest of it, nah, not a big deal to those people.
He's Jeff Turn. I'm Michelle Smallman. It's Greeny here on ESPN Radio. And Jeff, I want to know if you're petty. Are you a petty guy?
Listen, I'm not really petty with other humans other than my kids, okay?
Oh, so, like your kids.
My kids, okay? And it's not like mean stuff, but, you know, for example, on Father's Day, we had a slip and slide with water balloons for the kids and, you know, it was my chance for about 5 to 10 minutes to absolutely lamp blast them with the hose. I was enjoying it. They were telling me to stop. And I said, no, this is all the payback for you guys not listening. It's Father's Day. And the gift to me is that you are going to run around in the yard and I'm going to lamp blast you with the hose. And so that was me being petty for all the moments that they drove me crazy over the last calendar year. And, like, you know, for example, sometimes my kids will continue to annoy me as we're going through a drive-through line. So I may order, like, you know, the spicy taco for them to try, like, just to see what they think. And then, you know, they get their slushy too. So yeah, I mean, there's moments where I'm definitely petty with my kids because I have to put up with so much with three boys under eight. And I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't interact with a lot of other humans outside of, like, my kids. So I'm very childish with my pettiness with my kids. So, yeah, but, like, not real petty over the years as much as maybe some people would think I would be.
Okay, I love that you're petty with your kids. Respect it. And what about this one? So Bubba brought this to our attention, our great producer. He has this story about a New Jersey homeowner. This person chopped down 32 of his neighbor's trees along a hillside in a tiny town because he wanted to get better skyline views of Manhattan. He could now be forced to pay more than $1.5 million in fines and replacement fees because his neighbor is furious that he chopped these trees down. So,
I mean, it might have been worth
snitched.
It for him. It might have been worth it for him. 1.5 is a pretty steep penalty, but I mean, it may be worth it for him to see those beautiful Manhattan skyline views. It may bring up the value of his house significantly. And as you said that, I thought of one thing that I did. Like, I lived in Nashville for a while and we lived downtown, and you had to park on the street. There were no driveways. And so I would park my car wherever there was an open spot. And we had a neighbor across the street that would continually get upset and yell at me because I would park in front of their house, not in front of their driveway, but in front of their house.
That is annoying, though, Jeff.
What I would. What, that's annoying?
Yeah, it's annoying. I hate when people park in front of my house. I'm like, this is not your house. This is my side of the street. This is my area of the street.
I would directly turn around on the street and pull back and park right in front of their house, even though there were other spots after a while. I was done with it. Like, I didn't do it intentionally right away, but for a good 6 months, I did. Until they decided to invite me over for a nice steak, and we had a kumbaya, and I never parked in front of their house again. You can buy me off with food, but I just, I did not have any time for the nonsense of literally it's the only spot. I'm not parking down the block so you don't have a car in front of your house, you ding dong.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from, but you have to respect the area in front of the house. As far as I'm concerned,
it's the street. You don't own the street.
Correct.
You don't own the street.
I don't technically own the street, but that area is supposed to be designated to that homeowner.
No.
What if I have guests coming over, Jeff? What if I have an elderly person coming to visit me and I need them to park in front of my house so they have less time to get in? What if I have to park my car there to carry in some heavy boxes? This area is designated for this home.
Some other jerk already parked in front of my house. All right.
Well,
so too bad.
This is
too bad.
Don't make it a force multiplier situation. You handle your side of the street. Don't come on mine because you're too afraid to have a confrontation.
That's absurd right there. I mean, dear God, it's a public street. Okay, I get if I park in front of your driveway. I almost put cones out there just to reserve my spot for when I'd come home.
You are petty. I respect it. Okay, we want to hear from you. What is the pettiest thing you've ever done? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Jeff, I'm not really a petty person, and I was really racking my brain trying to think about something petty I've done. I'm more of the type of person, if you do something to bother me, I'm just done with you. I'll cut you off forever. It's like a lifetime ban with me. I don't waste my time and energy trying to be petty. But I will say this. When the Rams were ripped out of St. Louis, I was really mad for a long time. And, you know, they eventually won a Super Bowl, so they got the last laugh. But in the immediacy of their move, it was a disaster. The stadium was taking too long. They were spending a lot of money. You had the whole Jeff Fisher thing going on. Jared Goff wasn't great. So I would tweet a lot. I would have some petty tweets reveling in their failures. That's about the pettiest thing I've ever done. But again, look what that got me. Not only do I not have my football team, they won a Super Bowl. So Stan Kroenke's laughing all the way to the bank.
He is. And he won with the Avalanche, and he won with the Nuggets as well.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm aware. Thanks.
I will say this, too. I just got a text from my mother who said, I hate it when people park in front of my house. But the difference
Thank
is
you.
We live in
Jeff's
a place
mom.
Now where you have like triple stall garages or double stall garages and a huge driveway where like multiple people can park. There were no driveways in Nashville. There was only a street to park. I wasn't parking a mile away so that I had to walk because some other jerk took my spot. Okay. Jerk for jerk. That's how we roll.
He's Jeff Turn. I'm Michelle Smallvitt. It's Greeny here on ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you. Story time. What is the pettiest thing you've ever done? Plus, are you guys aware of what we're witnessing with Shohei Ohtani right now? We need to talk about it. It's amazing. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
Graveman's two-strike pitch. Shohei swings at that one and lifts a high fly ball. That's deep, and that's going to go in left center. He just hit one out. His fourth home run in this series. That one goes the opposite way out by the rocks out there in left center, and it's not over yet. Angels trail 9-7.
Thank you to Angels Radio AM 830 for one of the many Shohei Ohtani highlights that we've heard so far this season. He's Jeff Turn. I'm Michelle Smallman.
This is a remake? This is a remake, too?
Killing Me Softly? Roberta Flack? Where have you been?
What? The Fugees didn't come up with this one? That's crazy.
No. Roberta Flack, man.
I don't know who that is either.
Whew. Do you know who Shohei Ohtani is? I hope you do.
Yes, I do.
He's a unicorn. He's one of one. He is an absolute legend, and he is having a month for the record books. We just heard that two-run home run from Shohei Ohtani. He launched his 14th home run during the month of June against the White Sox. Jeff, that sets a franchise record for the most home runs in a single month. Oh, and by the way, during the month of June, he leads all of Major League Baseball in home runs, RBI, and OPS on the mound, 2-2, 3.26 ERA. He's absolutely unbelievable, and he also became the first AL pitcher in nearly 60 years on Tuesday to hit two home runs and strike out at least 10 batters in a single game. I know he's buried on the Angels. I know he's buried in that West Coast time zone, but Jeff, are you watching what this guy is doing?
Absolutely, I am. And I have this theory with Shohei Ohtani that he should win the MVP every single year as long as his offensive numbers continue to be what they are. Because if he just gets one win on the mound, he's doing something all those other guys offensively aren't doing. And that is getting a win on the mound as a pitcher. He is the remake, as we stay with the theme, of Babe Ruth. And I think he's better than Babe Ruth. Like, I think he does more. I would take... You know, historically, obviously, I wasn't around back then, but I think Shohei Ohtani in today's game, which is bigger, faster, stronger, I think he's doing things that will never be recreated. And just like Killing Me Softly by the Fugees is better than the original and Fast Car by Luke Combs is better than the original,
oh,
I think Shohei Ohtani is better than the original in Babe Ruth as well.
That is, you've had some bold takes today. I don't know if either of those are better than the original, but Shohei Ohtani is certainly a current star in his own right. He was in the zone last night. In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And Jeff, a lot of people wondering where his next landing spot is going to be. No disrespect to the Angels. I don't want him to waste out there.
Braves.
I want this guy to get a chance to win. I want to see him in a World Series. I know Mike Trout is perfectly content chilling out in Anaheim. He doesn't really care about legacy in the same way other people do. As a fan of baseball, I want to watch Shohei Ohtani in the postseason. I want to watch him on a night-to-night basis if I have the opportunity. I know the Dodgers are in the mix. The Giants are in the mix. You know, the Mets have the money. Maybe the Yankees. And I hate to just put him on a big market team. But I'm selfish, Jeff, and I want to watch this guy.
I do, too. And the team that always makes the postseason is the Atlanta Braves, and they just so happen to be my favorite team. So go to Atlanta, baby, and join the juggernaut that is the Bravos right now.
Okay, so we're petty because we're thinking about ourselves, and we just want things to happen our way. Jeff gave an interesting petty story earlier in the show about parking, and the phone lines have absolutely blown up, Jeff. 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 888-729-3776. This is a trust tree. We want to hear from you. What's the pettiest thing you've ever done? Let's get to James in Florida. James, welcome to Greeny.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. This hit a nerve with me because I have an office where parking's at a premium, and I have a assigned spot, and you have to take a bus if you want to get park in the remote parking. Well, I had a car that continually parked in my spot, so I took some industrial adhesive shrink wrap and shrink wrapped their vehicle for them and wrote in big bold letters, "Don't park in my spot." They never did it again.
A plus move by you, James. I love every second of that, man. And I'll tell you this, Michelle. When I did local radio for a long time, I used to have a car, and then I ended up getting a bigger car, and I got, you know, the Yukon XL because I have a busload of children that I have to take around all over the place. And the spots were too small. So for, I don't know, about 2 years, we had plenty of spots. I just would take two of them. And some people would complain, others wouldn't. And I felt like after a while, even when there were enough spots where I could just, you know, park between the lines and have two spaces beside me, I still took two. So, yeah, you know what? I'm becoming more petty as this show goes on.
I love the boldness of shrink wrapping the car. Yes. However, Jeff, I am a wimp because I would be too afraid of retaliation.
Oh,
That's a move that you better hope that that it's me on the receiving end, that you get a wimp who's going to realize that they were a jerk and that they were parking in your spot and you were forced to take the bus to your place of work where you needed to go. Because if you shrink wrapped the wrong car, this could be an issue that you're dealing with for quite some time.
Oh, I would be getting security cameras from all the adjacent buildings and finding out who did that to me, and I would get retaliation 100%.
He's Jeff Turn. I'm Michelle Smallman. We see the phone lines lighting up. We want to know what the pettiest thing you've ever done in, or you can call and chastise Jeff because of his bad parking that he's done, which I think a lot of people want to do. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And Jeff, this is the trust tree, right? People can come on here and air out the pettiest thing they've ever done.
Absolutely. No problem. We will judge you. She's lying. There's no trust here. We're just going to judge you. And that's okay because we've all apparently done some petty things. Although Michelle has not revealed what she does that's petty. So I'm waiting to find out what that is.
I'm too lazy to be petty, really. I need to up my game is what I need to do.
You got to stay petty so you don't have to get petty. That's the way to go.
He's Jeff Turn. I'm Michelle Smallman. More of your petty calls coming up next. Plus, we'll tell you the most important offseason additions in the NFL. It's our ESPN Rankum on Greeny, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.